It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday the 15th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. A federal appeals court handed down a big ruling on net neutrality this week. At issue, whether the Federal Communications Commission can say that high-speed internet service is different from basic telephone service, but still ask internet service providers to give users equal access to all online content. Verizon had sued, saying that the FCC can't have it both ways, and a court has now sided with Verizon on this. What does this mean for you and me? Let's ask Susan Crawford, visiting professor at Harvard Law School. Susan, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Ben. Great to be with you.
Let's give each other some specific examples here. How might this really play out?
These guys, the major operators, want to act just like cable systems do today, charging people who want to reach us, and then also charging subscribers more over time for different tiers of services. You'd call it just price discrimination in any competitive market. The trick here is that we don't have a competitive market, so they can just raise prices at both ends of their network.
I spoke with Chairman Wheeler relatively recently. Do you have any sense about how his office might respond? And what do you think they could do to fight this ruling if they were of a mind to do so?
Well, it's actually very straightforward. The FCC gets to change its mind, and they could show that, in fact, this is perceived as a utility, this high-speed internet access service, and should be treated as such. All they have to do is relabel, and the courts would uphold them.
Essentially admit that their own earlier regulation policy was wrong.
Right. And in fact, they could go back and say this really is a regulated service, and that's absolutely what an administrative agency gets to do.
Okay, so let's consider the scariest possible outcomes of this ruling, at least for net neutrality advocates. When might you and I suffer some of the sort of boogeyman stories put out there?
Well, as it happened, when the ruling came down, I was standing in my living room with the Comcast installer here in Cambridge, Massachusetts, who told me the mayor had signed an exclusive agreement with Comcast and that no competitors would be coming. And imagine if in the future, that Comcast was able to use that monopoly over high-speed internet access in your town to just pick and choose what you got to do using that connection. That's the risk. AT&T's sponsored data service is exactly this. They're saying some services will hit the cap and some won't. They're acting just like a cable programmer.
Susan Crawford is a visiting professor at Harvard's Law School, and she's the author of Captive Audience, the Telecom Industry and Monopoly Power in the New Gilded Age. Susan Crawford, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Important to note that a lot of tech companies, from startups to the big fish, are opposed to the kind of pick-and-choose internet services that Susan Crawford and others are worried about. Google's high-speed internet service Fiber might be an example of how competition in the internet service provider marketplace is growing. Of course, Google could potentially one day decide to give you access to YouTube instead of Netflix. One piece of news that maybe won't blow your mind is that our mobile use around the world is way, way up. In 2013, it grew 115% over the previous year. That's according to mobile analytics firm Flurry. So why? Well, here's the interesting part. A lot of things drove growth. Music and other media, games, news all played a role. But the big kahuna of mobile usage last year, messaging. Simply the new ways in which we communicate. Simon Khalaf is CEO of Flurry.
Communications has survived everything, you know, economical downturns or upturns or what have you, whether you are sending a pigeon or you pick up the phone and dial.
Thing is, people don't really dial all that much anymore. Heck, in the UK last year, text messaging actually dropped for the first time. I know, you're saying tell that to my little sister, right? But your little sister is likely starting to use different services to communicate, maybe because it's cheaper or more fun. So let's talk with CNET's editor-in-chief of reviews, Lindsay Turrentine. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. So how much are you Snapchatting?
So I don't Snapchat that much, but I do use WhatsApp when I travel.
Okay, why do you use it?
Because it's a much cheaper way to send text messages when you're abroad. So WhatsApp is It's an app that you buy for a small amount in the App Store, and you use it to communicate with your friends using your data plan instead of texting.
So whatever your texting plan on your phone might be, they're charging you for the number of SMS texts that you send, whereas if you're using Snapchat, it just sort of does it through the internet, right?
It's like sending an email from your phone,
uh-huh.
except usually it's a lot briefer. And some of these apps have a sort of fun aspect to them. So we all know about Snapchat, which sends pictures that disappear.
Ah, yes.
Yes. But WhatsApp is really more like a hybrid of texting, email, and then maybe Facebook. It's maybe not so serious, but really fun, especially for sort of the young set.
Will texting then be the rotary phone for our generation?
I do think that traditional texting is just going to go away. It's interesting. A couple of people I know picked up texting after they got an iPhone.
Uh-huh.
And this one particular woman, my mother, sends me these extremely long, you know, what she considers to be texts via iMessage, but it's nothing you would be able to send over SMS. She skipped it entirely. And I think that's the future.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of reviews for CNET. Lindsay, nice to talk to you as always.
Thank you.
One last note before we go. Tinfoil hats just got way more interesting. Italian designers made a hat, a collar, and a visor that look fancy but also serve a classic tinfoil hat purpose. The accessories actually work to ward off neuroimaging surveillance. If a brain scan is detected, the device will distract the wearer for a second to scramble their brain activity and protect their privacy. How? In one case, by hitting the wearer with an electric shock. Small price to pay for protecting your privacy for a millisecond. We've tweeted a link for all you paranoid fashionistas. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.